From KCRW, this is Greater LA. I'm Steve Chiatakis with a show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. About 4 months ago, former Long Beach Police Chief Robert Luna took the oath as new sheriff of Los Angeles County. But there was a moment right before where he put his left hand in the air and his right hand on the Bible.
Please raise your right hand.
Luna quickly switched. You know, it's left hand on the book, right in the air.
Got to get this right.
That was an easy fix.
State your name.
Getting the job of sheriff right? Well, that won't be so simple. The department Luna inherited has dealt with multiple scandals in recent years, and his predecessor had, to put it mildly, a contentious relationship with the LA County Board of Supervisors. So contentious that voters passed a ballot initiative giving the board the right to remove the sheriff by supermajority vote. The hope, of course, is it never has to come to that. Sheriff Robert Luna would no doubt agree. And Sheriff, welcome to Greater LA. We appreciate you coming on.
Well, good morning, and very nice to be on your show, and I'm looking forward to engaging you in this conversation.
The right-hand, left-hand thing can throw a lot of folks off, right?
It shouldn't have. That was a simple mistake, and maybe it was all the nerves getting to me at that point. But you know what? I shook it off quick, and on with business we went, and it was a beautiful ceremony.
You were chief of the Long Beach Police Department, but the LA County Sheriff's Office is, of course, quite a bit bigger. Has that taken some getting used to?
You know, for me, I don't notice that much of a difference, to be honest with you. Yes, it is a much bigger department, much more responsibility all across this vast county. But the 7 years that I spent as the chief of police in Long Beach gave me an amazing foundation of how to engage our community, how to govern with our mayor, elected officials. And Long Beach is very diverse. It was a great training ground. And I'm here now, 3.5 months in, and everything I believe is going pretty darn good.
There have been historically low crime numbers for the last few decades, but before you took office, just before, homicide numbers were going up, as were some property crimes like auto theft. How do you see the crime situation in LA right now, and what kind of approach do you want your department to take in response?
Well, I'd like to start off the conversation with saying that as of the beginning of this year, through March 27th, violent crime in the county is down 7.8%. Property crime is up 2.5%. So we have some work to do. And crime is our primary business. Making people feel safe is our primary business. So one of the things, one of my top priorities coming in here as your sheriff is I wanted to make sure that we had a 21st century strategy to address crime. And what that means in plain English is that it's a strategy that is driven based on data. It is based on relationship-based policing, which means we're in partnership with the community and other partners, because solving crime, like dealing with the unhoused and some of the most complex issues we deal with, we cannot do this alone. And that's what I tell all my employees. Collaboration is key. We need to develop partnerships because we're going to do this together with our community. That is a different message that was given from the top in the past. And one of my primary functions here as your sheriff for the last 3.5 months was to change the tone. It's not an us versus them. And them could be anybody from our community, the Board of Supervisors, a district attorney. And there's a long list of folks. We need every single one of them so we can serve the community to the best of our ability.
And I guess you could add the Civilian Oversight Commission to that as well. They released a report about deputy gangs in early March, a few weeks ago. I do want to talk about deputy gangs. It is something that a lot of folks are talking about here in LA County. How do you define the problem with deputy gangs over at LASD?
Well, first of all, when I was campaigning for this job, I read and spoke to so many people. So the challenge does exist. I don't run from it. I don't hide from it. It's something that we have to take on. But what most people don't understand, and it's my job to share and educate, is that the majority of the men and women who work here are amazing. They're not involved in this nonsense. And by the way, the mere fact that we're talking about law enforcement and gangs in the same sentence is it's ridiculous. It should not happen. But there's been, misbehavior that I don't believe was always addressed. That's why I went out and developed the Office of Constitutional Policing with Eileen Decker at the head of that office. I'll talk in a second about how she's qualified to do this job, but that office is going to deal with the issue of deputy gangs. They're in the process of hiring several attorneys, several auditors, and investigators. And not only are they going to deal with this issue of deputy gangs, cliques, and subgroups, but they're also going to be focused on the consent decrees and the settlement agreements that the sheriff's department has had for years. And in a lot of these cases, we're not progressing forward, changing our behavior, being in compliance with these, and then ultimately getting out of them. That's the ultimate goal. But there's a lot of work to do between now and then. And we're rolling up our sleeves here. And that's exactly how we're moving forward.
Well, you mentioned the word behavior, because that's a lot of this, right? And culture, a very strong culture for decades within the department. So how do you go about changing what seems to be a very strong culture within the department? It's going to take more than just a bureau or a task force, right?
Yes, sir. And that's an excellent question. And when people are asking me, hey, how long is this going to take? I come back and I say, this problem, this challenge has existed for decades here within the department. It cannot be managed overnight. It cannot be done overnight. My perspective is coming into this environment, listening and learning, and I'm learning a whole lot. And not coming in as a dictator, you will do this, you won't do that. Although, eventually there's going to unfortunately be some of that.
Well, you're the boss.
Of course. But you know what? If we want long-term change, let's do it the right way. Let's follow a process. Let's work with stakeholders like labor partners, other elected officials, our Civilian Oversight Commission, our Inspector General. Those are all people that I'm collaborating with, repairing a lot of fractured relationships. And only then, as we move forward through a process, we will do it in a way, may take a little bit longer, but the goal is we will not be talking about deputy gangs in the future. We'll be talking about the great work that the men and women of this department do day in and day out.
What about your second in command, April Tardy, who says she has an ankle tattoo that represents the station that she worked for in the 90s? Some deputies reportedly have said that it's a sign that she's in a deputy gang based there. Have you two discussed that?
We have. I want all of the listeners to know that April Tardy went through a extensive process before she was selected by me to become the undersheriff. She was a person who came before us not only with a lot of experience, a lot of respect from our community and the ranks inside the department, but just a person who showed so much integrity. And I have all the confidence in the world in April Tardy as we move forward that she's the right person at the right time for this job. And she is also heading an internal effort because we don't only have the civilian oversight recommendations that we're looking at and working through, but we have an internal working group by several members of this department that are 100% committed to eradicating this issue. And I'm hoping someday you can have her on her show so people get to know her and meet her, because she is an amazing person and she's going to be an amazing executive here at the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department.
Sheriff Robert Luna, we continue our conversation with the sheriff in just a moment. I want to remind you here on Greater LA to be able to do interviews and stories like that. It takes a lot of effort. And yeah, it even takes some money, too. Your support of KCRW powers the reporting that we do on Greater LA. That's how public radio works. A few times a year, we come on the air, we ask you to give, and now is the time to do it. On this final day of our on-air spring pledge drive, go to kcrw.com/give, just like so many members before you.
Hi, this is Vicki. I love KCRW. It's like family to me. I've been a member since the early to mid-80s. I can't even remember how long it was, but this radio station has changed my life and kept me invigorated. And I love the music, I love the news, and I love the special shows. And have a great, successful fun drive.
And thank you. Thank you so much for your support. Support NPR News, support the handpicked music and more. And most importantly, count yourself in at kcrw.com/give. Ask yourself the question, what is KCRW worth to you? Maybe it's $10 a month or $20 a month. Maybe you've never given before in the past. Well, now's the time to do it. We thrive on new members. That's how we stay strong and healthy, because we know we lose members by attrition over the years. New members keep this vital service going all across Southern California. If we're going to stay on track to end the drive later today and reach the goal, we're hoping for 10 new members an hour at least. If you've never given before and you can, think about it right now. Cross over that threshold. Become an active supporter of KCRW. It is your station. We're connected to you. We've been in LA for decades. And this time around, we're sweetening the deal with a chance to win a fantastic getaway to Sydney, Australia. Vivid Sydney is Australia's largest festival of light, music, ideas, and food. So donate before midnight tonight to be automatically entered to win. Don't wait. KCRW.com/give. What do you stand for? Be a part of this spring pledge drive before it ends tonight. KCRW.com/give. All right, back with Sheriff Robert Luna of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff, the ACLU has taken the county and your department to court over what it calls appalling conditions in the county jails. Aspects of the treatment of inmates came up, actually, in a recent meeting at the Civilian Oversight Commission. Let's hear a little bit of your response.
I'm actually, I guess the best way to describe it is just sadness when you hear this, because this shouldn't be happening. It's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable, you said. Everyone seems to agree, obviously. What needs to happen to fix these unacceptable conditions at LA jails, at the jails that the Sheriff's Department oversees?
It is unacceptable. I don't look at the ACLU as an adversary. They're trying to do their job, and I respect that. I actually went on a tour with federal monitors under our consent decree about a week and a half ago, and the ACLU attorneys were with us. We open every door. We answer all the questions, and that's the way I'm coming off initially, is to be as transparent as we can. But here's a reality. Yes, we absolutely need upgraded facilities to provide better health care, mental health care for the inmates that we have a responsibility and a legal obligation to care for while they're in custody. My vision, because people talk about Men's Central Jail, although the ACLU court case you're talking about actually specifically deals with the inmate reception center, but we as a county need to come together and figure out how we can provide the upgraded facilities that we need to house inmates in 2023 and looking forward, not looking backwards. We need rehabilitation, reentry, reintegration services, education and recreational opportunities. Our facilities aren't conducive to that now, but they need to be. you know, we talk about care first. And I believe in that. I believe in second chances. And I believe in taking care of people. But if we have them with us, why not do the best we can before we turn them back out onto the streets into our community? Because at the end of the day, there are community members as well, to try and make corrections with other partners. I want to be looked at as the sheriff's department that everyone comes to and says, how did you do that? Thinking out of the box instead of the other way around, where it's been the last several years, where we're at the wrong end of consent decrees and settlement agreements and lawsuits.
Well, there was a report out a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, calling for the closure of Men's Central. And nothing seems to have happened. I know the Board of Supervisors talked about building a new jail somewhere else, maybe a mental health facility, billions of dollars. Nothing came of that. I mean, what's going on? Why has there been so much talk and not any movement on that?
Well, I am the new guy, and I thus far have had a very good working relationship with all five of our supervisors. I find them to be very smart, intelligent people who care about the people in this county. So I am going to approach this. I'm going to look at what we've done, what's worked, what hasn't. And my job is to make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors that look at the future. But the issue of closing Men's Central Jail, you cannot just close that jail and depopulate that population and just put them out on our streets. Yes, we have an obligation to treat our inmates in a constitutional manner, but I also have an obligation to keep our streets safe. And I think most people know this, and if you don't, about 40% of the people that are in our custody are deemed to be have mental health challenges. That is not acceptable. That means there's an entire ecosystem that's failing, because the reason they're in our jail is because they have nowhere else to go. I'm going to do whatever I can, whether it's in Sacramento or DC, to try and educate, learn, and figure out how we move forward together, because the status quo in this situation is not working.
Well, and obviously, you know, going to jail should also not be a life sentence. And sadly, you know, the LA Times reporting just yesterday, there have been 3 inmate deaths within a 9-day period just this month. One of them, a man named Samuel Mark, 29 years old, being held on misdemeanor charges. But, you know, they were being held because they couldn't afford to make bail. Your department released a statement saying, we take our responsibility of, quote, providing a constitutional level of care for those in our custody seriously. But I mean, if you go to jail, I mean, I don't, you know, 3 people died within those walls. What does that say to you as to the extent of the problem?
Well, as a human being, as a man of faith, you know, I don't find it acceptable. Any death is not acceptable, especially while they're in our custody. Because they are our responsibility. Each of those deaths are going to be thoroughly reviewed. They are pending the coroner's inquisition to figure out exactly what happened. What can we learn? We work with the Department of Correctional Health as partners in our facilities to make sure people are getting the adequate health care. Unfortunately, a lot of people who come to us, and please remember that a lot of people that we have in custody aren't put in custody by just LA County Sheriffs alone. They're put in custody by all the departments in Los Angeles County. Some people don't come to us in the best of healthcare. I think correctional health overall does a really good job of providing the best healthcare they can. Probably more health care than they would get if they were out on the street.
What does it say? I mean, because this was on your watch, right? In this month where these 3 deaths happened, how does that make you feel? I mean, does that underscore the emergency of what's going on at Men's Central for you?
Yes, 100%.
What do you do?
Well, you have to look at data. Why were they there? How did they unfortunately pass away? What do we learn from that? Because I get the question, and it's my responsibility and obligation, but what's the counter to that? Do we not take people into custody? So we do have an imperfect system, and this is where I'm talking about in my earlier response about needing upgraded facilities to provide better healthcare. Because unfortunately, we are the only healthcare to some of our community members who do go into custody. That does tell you that our entire health system needs to be looked at. I'm not sitting here pointing the finger. It all starts with me. I have to look at, but then I have to share with my partners, how do we improve this? If people are coming into our custody in poor health, what are those circumstances they came from? And right now, the three individuals that you're talking about, three people that have families, and I get it, I don't know the cause of death. And until I know that, then I'll have better answers how we could have prevented this, if we could have prevented it at all.
Is this a way, if you have a better relationship, presumably, than your predecessor with the Board of Supervisors, you go to them and say, hey, look, you know, this needs to be put on the fast track. Something needs to be done. We need to find ways to solve this problem, whatever's going on at Men's Central, because it's been a problem for a long time. You've had the data, and the Sheriff's Department, you know, writ large, has had the data at Men's Central for a long time, and nothing's been done to fix it. How do you look at all of this and not just want to go to the Board of Supervisors and say, this is a problem, we have to fix this? I mean, you're the man with the microphone. You're the man with the podium, right?
Yeah, and that's going to happen. But remember, we just spent 10, 15 minutes talking about deputy gangs. And not that I'm only a one-issue person, but I went to the Board of Supervisors, and one of the top priorities was the deputy gang issue. And I had to go to the county CEO and put forth a plan that included a budget for the Office of Constitutional Policing. That is step one in many of the things we're dealing with. And by the way, that Office of Constitutional Policing, if you go back to my earlier statement, isn't only dealing with the deputy gang issue, but they're dealing with all of our consent decrees and settlement agreements. Several of those are related to our custody facilities. Those are the things that these attorney and auditors are going to be looking at, tearing into, and figuring out how do we get in compliance? What is it going to take? How much is it going to cost? How long, is there a technology fix here? I mean, there's so many different aspects to look at. And those are things that we're currently working on.
Well, Sheriff Luna, thank you for coming on and speaking with us for a few minutes and sharing your thoughts. Sheriff Robert Luna of Los Angeles County, less than four months in, you've got a lot on your plate. We wish you the very best of luck. Thank you, sir.
Steve, thank you for having me on. And if this job was easy, anyone could do it. But we know that's not the case. So I look forward to the work.
Going to do it for us this evening. Tomorrow, a look at the growing number of women who are in the beer and alcohol business, once a male-dominated sphere, how some folks are even supporting one another. That's tomorrow, right here on Greater LA. That kind of reporting, by the way, is powered by you and by thousands and thousands of members who donate every month. It is the last night of KCRW's Spring Pledge Drive, and you know how important it is. We tried to lay it out all for you. Now it's your turn to get involved. Get yourself counted in at kcrw.com/give. You can get entered automatically into the Vivid Sydney sweepstakes, of course. Be a part of that. If you donate right now, you'll also get the KCRW Motel keychain. This is the old school, you know, diamond-shaped green keychain with KCRW's logo on it, always on LA. It's all yours, thanks to your support, when you go to kcrw.com/give. And while you're there at the website, drop us a line, share a story, grab the podcast, kcrw.com. Juliana Mayo, Nihar Patel, Zeke Reed, Phil Richards, Amy Tuck, Carlos Ramirez, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all helped assemble the show. I'm Steve Chitakis. Thanks for your time and your ear. Have a great night.